Welcome to the Recruitment Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Todd Birkinshaw, the Group Marketing Director at Recruitment Entrepreneur, and I'm delighted to kick off our new podcast channel with our first guest and chairman, James Khan, CBE. James started out his career in recruitment in the mid-80s when he launched Alexander Mann. He then went on to scale Alexander Mann through to an exit in 2002. James then went on to co-found the executive headhunting firm Humana. Today, he is currently chairman of Recruitment Entrepreneur and equity firm Hamilton Bradshaw. James is a seasoned entrepreneur and is also known as a TV personality from his time on Dragon's Den. I talked to James about how he started his businesses, how he scaled them to a successful exit, and how, in today's market, to improve your recruitment business. James, thank you very much for joining me today. Today we're going to be talking about how to build a better recruitment business. For all the people listening today who are looking to start up their businesses or even scale, to get your advice I think would be really prudent considering your history. We've heard recently in 2021 was a really good year in the recruitment market. 2022 so far, you know, we're at December now, has been fantastic. Obviously Q4's kind of dipped off a bit and we're seeing a bit of a softening in the market. How do you see that? You know, you've launched businesses since 1985, you know, around the world, global success, world-class leader in businesses, particularly in recruitment. How does that function for you looking at the market into 2023?
I think 22, Tom, has been, it certainly started off as a really good period. The first half, I think, was excellent. I think the second half, we saw all the signs for a bit of a softening. So I think we're going into 2023, certainly with the market softening. I think, like most entrepreneurs, when they started out in business, I didn't know what I didn't know. And I think it's fair to say that it took way longer than I thought. When I started the business initially, it was very much around me. And I think that's very common in recruitment, where the business is generally built around the founder. I think it's a good and a bad thing. I think the business kind of begins and ends with you. And by default, if you're not careful, you end up with a very boutique-y lifestyle business. And looking back, probably wasn't the right decision. I think I left it too late to hire people. And when I hired people, I probably didn't hire the right quality of individual. And I think to build a business of scale, you need good quality experienced people. And I probably hired too many trainees, which meant it took way longer for them to develop and get into management positions. I think if I had to do it again, I probably would have taken a bit more time and probably spent a bit more money and hiring the right people with the right experience. I think when I was starting out, if I'm honest, any client that wanted to do business, I took.
Yeah.
And even when the business was 2 or 3 years old, too much of our business was done with too fewer clients. And I think that was a bit of a mistake because we were a little bit over-reliant and over-dependent on that. I think that to build a business of scale, you need to have the right platform. So I think in the beginning, I didn't pay enough attention. We had very weak systems, we had very weak processes. If I'm honest, we made it up as we went along. Our technology, we didn't really use it very well. We relied probably too much on personality. Our training was quite poor. It was sporadic, ad hoc, no structure. And the consequences of that meant we probably had a higher staff turnover because we were not really developing our people as the way we should have done. Because it was a small business in the beginning, we didn't really have budgets. And, you know, we kind of did what we did and what we felt was we had a good month because we worked hard. But looking back, we probably could have had a bit more direction.
Yeah.
And I think if we're going to build a business to scale, we need to have some clarity, direction, and some budgets. We didn't have proper management meetings because it was me and a couple of guys. But actually having the discipline to produce a proper set of accounts every month where you look at what you've done and what your billings are and what you did the month before, how much of those clients are paid, how much is still outstanding. That discipline didn't come until later on. I wish it started a bit earlier.
Yeah.
We weren't particularly good at chasing invoices. You know, once the deal had been done and we rung the bell and the placement was on the board, if I'm honest, we just assumed that money would come in. And we weren't particularly good on that. And again, later on, and it just goes back, we just didn't know what we didn't know.
Yeah.
And then we got much better, you know, at kind of processes, and we had a, you know, a proper HR function, proper expense policy, proper collection process. We recognized the importance of technology. We started using it much more efficiently. So I think in that beginning, it's that difference between professionalizing and lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I think people need to differentiate very quickly. Unfortunately for me, it took longer than it should have done. I just wished if I'd started out the journey in the beginning with a clear objective of building a professional business rather than a lifestyle business.
Did you have a mentor back then?
I think a number of people, Tom, did mention to me the idea of having a mentor, but I think recruitment's a kind of funny business. You know, anyone in the business has always seen you as a competitor.
Yeah.
And therefore, going to people who have knowledge and experience of the industry is quite difficult. And the only person I would generally talk to was my dad. Problem is, my dad didn't really know the recruitment business very well. So although he was helpful from a business perspective, but he didn't really help me the way that I think a mentor should help you in recruitment.
So a few lessons learned, obviously, along the way you've done it. You know, you've launched, scaled and exited a few businesses. How does, you know, the points you've just picked up on just now translate into what you're doing with a recruitment entrepreneur?
I mean, I suppose with recruitment entrepreneur, when I started, you know, we used the phrase, I didn't know what I didn't know. Today, I obviously know a lot more. So the benefits of how we've translated that into recruitment entrepreneur is, I suppose, eliminating the initial mistakes, not building a business that's a lifestyle or a boutique-y business, making sure the founders that we have today, they start off with a very clear mindset of building a professional business. And, you know, one of the businesses that we created, backed, supported and scaled, that exited recently, where the founder did amazingly well and, you know, sold the business for millions, was really testament of how today we work with founders doing it right from day one, doing it right from the beginning, because we know how to do that. The challenge that founders have is they've never been in that position before, they've never built a business before, they've never scaled a business before, and therefore having somebody like recruitment entrepreneur that effectively is your mentor throughout the process, that's available to you every single day, they interact with you on a weekly basis, they work with you on a monthly basis with your management meeting. So having somebody who actually knows the business, understands the business, has been there, done it before, and done it on numerous occasions, mean that the coaching and the support you get is tried and tested.
Were there any key points then, including all of that, that you still carry through from you launched Alexander Mann back in 1985, that you would say that the recruitment entrepreneur model today still continues those lessons learned all those years later?
I think probably the biggest lesson that I learned at Alexander Mann is the focus and importance of attracting talent. The key ingredient of Alexander Mann was its ability to attract quality people. You cannot build or scale a business without quality people. So from day one, we were always very mindful of, to be successful, we need to attract quality people. Now, everybody says to me, but it's not easy, it's really hard. Of course it's hard, that's why we as a business exist.
Yeah.
Clients say it's really hard, and they go to a third party like us. So by default, it's not easy. But we prove to clients every day of our life that it can be done. We are in the business of finding hard to find talent. That's what we charge a fee for.
Yeah.
So we do it for other people, we should be able to do it for ourselves.
On that point, over the years, you've invested in numerous businesses, numerous people. I think, like you touched on it just then, you invest in people, not just the business model, obviously, per se. That's got to be strong or have a future. How many people would you say over the years that you've seen that haven't been right, but you've then gone on to invest in, and then managed to turn it around for them and gone, do you know what, early on I had some doubts, but because of the model that you've supported with the lessons learned, that you've turned it around and seen it successful?
I'd say probably one in three, because we're not dealing with a product here. Mm. This is about people, it's about emotion, this is about feelings, this is about people's vision. And the truth is, it doesn't always work immediately. Some people, it takes a bit longer. But I do passionately believe that we understand how to build, scale, and exit businesses. And if we've got the right individual with the right passion, the right drive, who is a true market expert, who has a passion for this business like I do, I believe the recruitment entrepreneur model, you know, will enable them to achieve their ambitions of building a business that can become a legacy, that can become something they can be really proud of.
Yeah.
You know, I have immense pride in what Alexander Mann achieved, even though today, you know, I've sold it, it doesn't belong to me, it's owned by somebody else, but it's still my baby.
Yeah.
You know, I still, when somebody mentions that name, you know, my ears prickle up immediately. So, you know, I think if you do it right, you can do that for sure. Mm-hmm. And I think with all of the resources and the support that our founders get from Recruitment Entrepreneur, we've proved 14 times now where we've backed an entrepreneur and we've successfully realized value for the founder and ourselves on 14 separate occasions. I don't think you can be lucky 14 times.
Yeah. In this market, compared to, you know, back in the day of Alexander Mann or even Humana, how different would you say, you know, how much more competitive is it today than back then? It, you know, is it more competitive or is it just different?
I think when I started, if I had to take a guess, I would say there were probably 10,000 recruitment businesses. Today there are 27,000. So it's a much more crowded market. It's a highly competitive market. I would say it's probably tougher today than it was then. You know, we would, at the time when I came in the market, I think prior to, because I set up roughly at the same time, in the early 80s is when Harvey Nash set up, Robert Walter set up, Alexander Mann, S3. So we were all kind of products of the 80s. Mm. I think in the 70s, it was mainly the Manpowers, the Adecos, the Randstads, etc. So that kind of what I call mid-tier recruitment businesses were really founded then. And today, I think they've continued on to become global brands. I think on the one hand, you would say it was easier. Mm. But at that time, the downside was there was no capital available. There was no venture capital. There was no investment available. There was no technology. When Alexander Mann first launched, the sophistication of our technology was all our consultants had two boxes on their desk, a green one and a yellow one. The green one was candidates and the yellow one was candidates. So you would literally flick through your card box, find the client you were going to call, and then match them with a candidate. Today, we have the most sophisticated IT systems and matching and algorithm and artificial intelligence, etc. So I think it's different because on the one hand, you had less competition, but you had zero sophistication. Mm. There was no job boards. There was no computers. You know, the market was different. There was no capital available. The banks wouldn't lend you money because you had no assets. Venture capital wouldn't look at recruitment because it didn't exist. So I think today you can raise capital.
Yeah.
You can launch the business easier. There were things like service offices, which didn't exist then.
Yeah.
You'd have to take a lease. So I think it was it's a whole different environment. I don't think you could just say that if you'd started then it would be easier, because I can assure you there were many recruitment businesses that launched in the 80s that never made it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the point you touched on when you talk about technology in this day and age, you know, the AI, the algorithms, the data and information that you can get, if you talked about that 10, 15 years ago, it was a bit of a novelty, whereas this day and age, you know, it's pretty accessible to everyone and anyone. With 27,000 plus and more growing each year and no doubt even more into 2023, how do you stand out? I mean, we've touched on this before about being a personal brand, you know, obviously going through what you've done, being known for Dragon's Den, having James Khan the brand, your LinkedIn profile. You touched on, obviously, it's a very different market. There's now more recruiters out there. Is it just on the level of service you provide? If you were setting up today from scratch without an investor, without that sort of like the mentor, the coaching and support in the back office that Recruitment Entrepreneur provides, and you were going to go it alone, what would you do to be different to all the other people out there?
I mean, I think despite the fact of having done Dragon's Den or having launched Alexander Mann, if I write a post today on LinkedIn that is not very interesting, that's not very engaging, my post bombs just like anybody else's. So people say to me, but it's okay for you. The sad truth is, it isn't, because I write posts that absolutely nosedive and get nothing. So what that teaches you is it doesn't matter who you are, you still have to come up with good content. So I think there are two things, in my opinion, that could make you stand out, is your expertise in the market. I think true specialists who represent their sectors well, who have phenomenal market knowledge, stand out in the market, because not enough people, I believe, do it. I think there are too many mediocre recruiters who are very average on their market. Whenever I meet a big biller, somebody who bills $500,000 to $1 million a year, the one thing every one of them have in common is they are outstanding market experts. Mm. So I think if I was setting up today and I wanted to be different, I would really focus on being an expert in my market. I'd also use that market expertise to become a thought leader and generate quality content on social media that made me stand out. So clients or candidates in the market that I represent would identify me as somebody who they would trust in their market.
Absolutely, and I think going back to the point where we're looking at Recruitment Entrepreneur and what it provides to people who are either starting or scaling their business, you touched on, you know, lessons learned, and obviously the main one was kind of, you know, benefit of hindsight is do things quicker, bring, you know, I think that was it Steve Jobs or Richard Branson said, you know, surround the people more intelligent than you in those areas, and then you've got a good team around you. With the technology today, it's very easy to set up a recruitment company in 24 hours, and then the hard graft is, you know, from back in the day, going through the paper and cardboard slips, making those phone calls. It's a lot easier now to be a lot more prominent on social media, like I said, with good content. So if you've got that knack and that personality, you're more likely to be more successful. Those people who then have that drive, that entrepreneurship and ambition to grow and scale their business, and you know their vision is to an exit, when they come to you and you meet them for the first time, is there a gut feeling? Is it just on the billings and the business plan? What else is it that you look for in individuals when they come to you?
Just because you can bill does not mean you can run a business. So when I meet somebody, I'm not just looking at your billing track record. I want to understand, what is your vision for the business? Mm. What is the passion that you have? Because the one thing that I've learned is if anything can go wrong, it certainly will. So how much resilience do you really have? Because you are going to get a lot of knockbacks. Nothing's going to be straightforward. Building a business is not a walk in the park. So how much resilience do you have? Because if you don't, you're probably going to quit quite early on in the process. To build a business, you have to be better than a manager. You've got to be a leader, because you will be starting a business that doesn't have this global brand around you. So people have to buy into you. So what kind of vision do you have for the business? And is that vision something you can articulate to people in an engaging way that they want to come and work for you? Do they recognize you as a leader? Because if you don't, you will not attract the caliber of talent you need. You have to be quite intellectual from a business perspective, because when you start a business, the buck stops with you. Mm. You don't have this huge finance function that will transfer money into your account when you haven't collected your receivables. There is no such thing. So you are going to have to make tough decisions, and it's your money. And when you have somebody who does not bill, Tom, at the end of the month, you're going to have to pay him. Mm. And the next month, and the next month, you're going to learn very quickly that that money is like an egg timer. It will run out. Mm. It's not endless. So you've got to be commercially astute to make tough decisions when you need to, because that money is only going to last for a certain period. So I'm looking for somebody with some kind of business intellect that understands the principles of business. I need somebody to be a market specialist, because most businesses that are set up today are specialist. We don't have generalist businesses anymore. So if you're going to be in, you know, life sciences or pharmaceuticals or financial services, I want to understand, what do you represent in that market? Mm. So every founder that I've backed has something in common. They are all fantastic representation of their market.
So really good advice. And then off the back of that, what to you, and kind of looking back as well to maybe, you know, the start with Alexander Mann and even to today, is do you put any kind of pressure on yourself to define kind of what is success? You know, when it was back in Alexander Mann, was it hitting a record month or X amount of new clients? And when you're looking at investing in people, you know, how do you define what is a success?
I think success means different things to different people. If you had met me when I launched Alexander Mann and you had said to me, when would you feel that you'd made it? And in phase one of Alexander Mann, to me, made it meant that I had an office with a window. Because when I launched, you know, I was in a broom cupboard that had no windows. And sitting there by myself was pretty lonely. So as soon as, in your definition, I had made it, I could move to an office with a window.
Yeah.
If you'd met me at that time when I had the window and said, when will you know you've made it? I would have said, as long as I could hire somebody, because right now I'm on my own, I have nobody to talk to, and when I do a placement, I have nobody to celebrate with. I'd love to hire somebody so I can talk to somebody. And when I did, that was another milestone. And literally throughout my career, Tom, everything has been milestone based. So it went from window to no window to hiring somebody. And then I thought, imagine if I could have a team. So one became five. To go from a team, I then moved offices to a bigger office where, you know, I had a team, and then I promoted somebody as a manager, and the manager recruited a team of four people. So everything went, you know, there was no point in my career where I believe that the business would ever be as big as it is, because I never looked that far, because I couldn't touch it. So everything for me was milestone driven. I kept setting milestones. And I remember, this is going back years ago, when we said, great, wouldn't it be amazing to hit $1 million revenue? Because we'd never done that before. Mm. So that was the milestone, to hit $1 million. And then once we'd hit $1 million revenue, it was like, oh my God, imagine if we could make $1 million profit. Because the turnover was amazing, but didn't mean you make money. Mm-hmm. So then we set the next milestone, which was to make $1 million profit. When I'd hit $1 million profit, for some crazy reason, I assume we had £1 million in the bank. And I remember we got to the end of the first year, when we hit $1 million, we had no cash in the bank. And I couldn't understand, how can you make $1 million profit and not have cash? Because all of our profits were tied up in outstanding invoices.
Yeah.
So even though on paper we'd made $1 million profit, but there was no cash to pay dividends. So the next milestone was set, where we wanted to accumulate $1 million cash reserves in the business, and I wanted to convert profit into cash. So literally throughout my entire career, everything has been effectively a milestone that I can touch and feel, that I can be focused to deliver on.
So speaking of those milestones now, obviously, you know, listening to you and kind of your experience from 1985, there are a lot of lessons learned that you're now kind of shrinking into kind of time frames on what you then provide through Recruitment Entrepreneur. We talked about launching a business or even scaling a business and having that, you know, the back office support, the mentoring or the coaching, and people that have, you know, like yourself and you know, the senior leadership team around you saying, this is how to do it, this is how not to do it, this would be our advice. You're now taking the Recruitment Entrepreneur brand global. You're in, I think, 14 countries at the minute, with the aim to be 20 by March, April. Surely that offers to the people that you're investing in, that you meet and you think about investing in, a whole nother level of opportunity.
I mean, if I look at some of the founders that we are backing around the world, I think the opportunity for people who get the backing from Recruitment Entrepreneur, I truly believe, hand on heart, is a unique opportunity that is not available through any other organization in the world. What Recruitment Entrepreneur can provide today, I mean, today we're a much more sophisticated business. We've been established for 8 years. We backed over 30 entrepreneurs. We ourselves have made many mistakes, but through backing not one or two or three, but, you know, 30, 40 entrepreneurs, we've got better ourselves. So when an entrepreneur, whether he's in New York or Paris or Sydney or Rome, wherever we're backing the entrepreneur, what he gets today, I honestly believe, is a unique set of resources. So even when we talk about building a brand or, you know, creating yourself as a brand, today we have an entire marketing team that works with a founder that teaches him how to do it. Nobody taught me how to do it. I didn't have four or five people I could go to. When I started out, you know, I didn't understand finance and accounting and accrual accounting and balance sheets, whatever. Today, Recruitment Entrepreneur has an entire team of people, experts who work with founders. Mm. It's at every level that the founder goes on that journey, he's got literally a team of people he works with. So we've made the journey much more realistic, much more achievable, much more deliverable. Whereas I think when you're like me and like most people out there, when you're doing it on your own, let's be honest, you kind of make it up as you go along, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, which is why when I set up Alexander Mann, it took me 17 years from startup to exit. Most founders that I've met around the world, the average time that it takes to grow a business to exit is generally around 20 years. Took me 17, yeah. But I would say between 15 and 20 would be 80% of the market.
Wow, interesting.
In Recruitment Entrepreneur, the founders today are doing it between year 4 and year 7. And the difference is, if you do it on your own, you're going to have to make those mistakes, you're going to have to unpick those mistakes, do it again, and the process just takes what it takes.
Yeah.
And if you looked at it today, you know, we have operations in 14 countries. I probably met between 50 and 80 businesses in every country. I've not seen many that have exited before 15 to 20 years. And yet in Recruitment Entrepreneur, I'm seeing businesses exit in year 5 and 6.
And looking back to Alexander Mann, like you touched on right at the start, is if you could change anything in the lessons learned, it was to have those people around you a lot earlier. And arguably that 17 years could have ended up being 10 or 12. And I guess that's the aim of what you're trying to achieve here globally.
Absolutely.
So final point then, what's your one bit of advice to the, you know, to the people you're trying to work with and partner with, you know, globally in all these cities and major cities around the world, whether it's a startup or scale up, going into the market, you know, like we touched on earlier about the economy being slightly softer, what would be your one bit of advice going into January?
I think I would say, don't be a hero. You know, there are alternative options and strategies available that make you way better, that make you smarter, and have the resources that makes this journey a much more exciting journey. I'm not saying Recruitment Entrepreneur is right for everybody, but I think its track record and its success speaks for itself. I think reach out and speak to somebody at Recruitment Entrepreneur and just explore the avenue and say, could this be right for me? Because right now, people all over the world, you know, are joining this organization to help them build and scale their businesses at a pace that's never been seen in this industry. So it must be worth exploring.
Fantastic advice. James, thank you very much for your time.
Excellent.
Today.
Thanks, Tom.